Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for this time together that we have, this fellowship time we have together, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all you're doing in our lives. You're cleaning us up. You're delivering us from the things that have hindered our walk with you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given us, Father, that it is an awesome display of your power in our lives, and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that tonight we're going to learn some things from other people, and people going to learn some things from us, and everybody going to have a part to play in it, Lord, and I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that tonight people's lives are going to be changed. I thank you, Lord, that we just speaking by faith, everybody's going to be delivered. And we praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon this meeting. We've got people from all over, Lord, that love your word, Lord, and love you. And we're looking for the time of this great happening called a revival and the tribulation, because we know as children of God, children of your children, Lord, that we're in a safe place. We don't have to worry about the things around us. All we have to do is keep our eyes focused on you, Lord. And I praise you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time because you're in charge and you're directing and leading the show, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go ahead and open it up. Anybody that has a prayer request? Anybody got a prayer request or would like to pray about something?
Michael, I got one.
Okay, Tim.
This gal I work with last night, she got a panic phone call that her husband was exhibiting the symptoms of a stroke, and it turned out that he did have a mild one, they said. And so I'd like everybody to join me and pray for her that his name is Frank, and that Frank would be completely healed and through this experience to be drawn to the Lord. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we join our faith together for Frank. You would heal him, and all the symptoms of his stroke would be gone, and that he would continue to lead his busy life unhindered by this, and that through this he might come to know you and be blessed by the knowledge of that. And thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, y'all give me just a minute here. I've got to get something from my email here. Hang on. Hey, can y'all hear me? Okay. Tim, I'm sorry about that. I got interrupted there. Did you pray for him, or do you want me to, or what?
Well, I already did, and it felt like in the spirit it was being heard, and I felt everybody's collective prayer, so I think we're good.
Okay, well, good. I'm so sorry about that. Trying to get Kurt on here. He forgot. He couldn't get the number. Whatever. But anyway, all right, anybody else?
Can you all pray for me? I'm being tormented so much.
Okay.
The oppression is very intense on my body. On my chest, my back, my head. I've gone through it all day. And I've been praying and staying in the presence of God, and just the attacks are just so intense. And
okay, Princess, let me ask you a couple of questions here, and I may have asked you these before, and I apologize if I have. Do you have any unforgiveness in your heart toward anybody? Because that's critical. That's critical for complete deliverance.
Right. Yeah, like I've been working on that. And with the spirit of offense as well. God brought that to my attention that I had that. And I've really just been trying to love, like draw near to Jesus more so that I can love. And I have all this bitterness and all of this stuff going on in my soul.
Are you having trouble getting rid of it?
It seems like, yes, like I'm trying to love more.
Yeah. Well, let's do this. It's nothing that you can do to begin with. It's something that God has to do in you. And what you do is you ask God, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I need you to take this away from me. I need you to take it out of my heart, all the bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. Lord, I give it to you, and I lay it at your feet, Lord. And if you'll do that, he'll take it from you. But from that point on, you have to rebuke those feelings of anger and bitterness that come on you. Oh, nope, I don't have that. In the name of Jesus, I've given it to Jesus. He's got it now. And if you'll do that, when we pray for you, you're going to get delivered of it, okay? And it'll stay gone, but you have to be, you know, we're a warrior. We're Christ's warriors. And the war that we have is against our flesh and the world and the devil, as you already know. But he's given us authority. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, he's told us he's given us power over, or given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And boy, and I'm glad you tuned in tonight, because we've got a great meeting tonight on deliverance. But I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to deliver you, okay?
Okay. And it feels like, this may sound like crazy, but it feels like something is moving in my body. I don't know. Like, it's very evil. Like, sometimes I can feel it in my mouth or around my head. And then when I eat food in my house, I get these attacks. And I've mentioned these things to my mom. It's a lot going on in my home, and I'm trying to be careful what I say, because I don't want to seem like I'm slandering or anything.
Sure.
You know, I've prayed for my stepfather. I don't know if he's into things, but it's like when I eat stuff from here, I get attacked, these torments and stuff, and
Is there people in your family that are coming against you because of your faith?
No, I mean, I feel like maybe it could be my stepfather, but I don't know. Because there's nobody else that I know that would do harm to me.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm trying to forgive with him in love.
Okay. All right, well, let's go ahead and pray, and then you be sure and listen to the whole program tonight, because it's going to be good. We got a lot of people on here that knows deliverance, and we're going to have a lot of input. So it'll be something that I believe will be helping all of us, actually. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Princess to you. We thank you, Lord, that she has laid this bitterness and anger and unforgiveness at your feet, Lord, and she knows that she wants you to take it. And we command those demons of torment. That demon that's moving around inside of her right now, we command you by the authority and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave her right now in Jesus' name. You go from her in the name of Jesus. And tormenting spirits, oppressive spirits, you go in the name of Jesus. Unforgiveness spirits, go. In the name of Jesus. Confusion, go. In the name of Jesus. Any kind of torment and hindering spirit, you go. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you have cleansed her. And Father, I ask and I pray right now that you give her great and bold faith to believe. And place it in her heart to read and study and renew her mind with the Word of God that keeps them all at bay. And we praise you, Father, for doing that in the name of Jesus. That is the most important thing for all of us to do, is to renew our mind with the Word of God, so we'll know what our authority is over the enemy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You believe that, Princess?
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Anything else, hon?
I guess just pray for my family.
Okay. You want to do that or you want me to?
Can you?
Sure. Do all of them need salvation?
Yeah.
Okay. What do we need to pray for them about?
Deliverance and, you know, self-examination, and to know Jesus, you know, to know his person.
Okay. Well, Father, we know you heard Princess, and we ask, Lord, that you put a hunger in her family for the Word of God and a love in her heart for each other, Lord. And we command those spirits of divisiveness, those spirits of faction in her family to leave right now in Jesus' name. We command all tormenting spirits out of that household in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that you're going, those who don't want to listen, Father, we ask that you send someone that they will listen to, Lord, to give them the gospel of love and show them, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to see a mighty miracle here in Princess's family in the name of Jesus, because we believe we've got a bunch of believers here, and we're believing with Princess that her family is going to be a family of love and Jesus, nothing but Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to put the fear of God in those that are rebellious in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, that you're going to turn them back to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
All right. All right, Princess. Anything else, hon?
No, that's it for now.
Okay.
Thanks.
You bet. Bless you.
God bless you, too.
Okay, Marlon, what you got, brother? Okay, no.
I was just, we have prayed for my eye, and we just would like the brothers and sisters on this conference call to agree with us that my eye was already healed, and that whatever is trying to be a problem, that it is gone, and just like you to agree with us in that. And I guess we've already prayed for it, so I guess we wouldn't pray again, but just thank the Lord that it is done and that everyone agree with us that it's totally done.
Amen, Lord. We just thank you that Gano's eye is healed in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father, for that, because we know when we pray that you listen, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, anything else?
No.
Okay. All right, anyone else? All right. Hey, is that you, Chad? Nope. Okay, anybody else? Got a prayer request?
Yeah, Michael, I'd like to pray. I have a girlfriend that her teenage daughter keeps running off after school every day. So, Father, right now we just lift up Marilyn and her daughter. And, Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would put this situation in your hands, Lord. And help her to do the right thing, Lord. And whatever the in between them, I just pray that you would take that away. And, Lord, I just bind all spirits of rebellion in her right now in the name of Jesus. And I bind aggravation in the mom. And, Lord, I just pray that you would help them to get along and convict her, Lord, if she tries to go against her mom's wishes, that you would convict her, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
Are you muted, Michael?
Well, I'm trying to talk with you and Matt, seeing Matt over here, too. He's, anyway, go ahead.
Me, I was finished.
Your phone is, your audio is bad.
Anybody?
Your audio is really bad.
What about now? Is that better?
Oh, that's a whole lot better.
What'd you okay. Sorry. No, I was praying. I have a girlfriend, and her teenage daughter keeps running off after school and not coming home, and she just doesn't know what to do. So anybody want to add any prayer for her? Her name's Marilyn, and her daughter's Marissa.
Okay, Lord, we just thank you for placing it in Marilyn's heart. Is that the rebellious daughter there, Marilyn?
No, sir. The other way around. Marissa's the daughter.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you for turning that daughter around. Lord, just put a fear of her, fear of you, Lord, in her. Is she a Christian?
Yes, I actually witnessed her for quite a while. And she's a believer. She's just 16, you know.
Yeah. Well, Lord, we just thank you for turning this around. We praise you, Father, for that. And, Lord, we just ask that you give the mother a rest and a peace in your heart, in her heart, to understand her role as mother. Her role is to pray for, but also to exert authority over her and to keep it, you know, keep her in line. And, Lord, we thank you that the daughter is going to stay in line because she loves the Lord, and we praise you for it, Father. Give her some dreams, Lord, the daughter some dreams that will scare her back to her mother and put mother's heart a great and bold love for her daughter and a lot of grace, Lord. It takes a lot of grace to raise a 16-year-old, and we just praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Amen. I agree. Thank you so much. Praise God. I did get the witness tour for a while. You know, I told her my testimony and some just creepy stuff. Same thing. I was like, man, this will scare the hell out of her. You know, because she was looking into all that Wiccan stuff. So I'm like, well, here's what happened to me. And I'm, you know, so.
I just got a couple of people I want to pray for, Michael, if everyone could just agree with. I've got a lot of people coming over to my place to get ministry and, you know, deliverance and stuff. So there's one girl coming over on Thursday night, which is in 2 nights' time, called Rima. And I won't give you a long story on it, but she's a lovely girl, but she's been in a psych ward. Her sons are just absolutely loaded with you know, demonic stuff. One's a homosexual, and she's just going through a really rough time. But the demons are just absolutely causing chaos, triggering her. And anyway, she's going to be coming over, and we just need the Lord to release peace into her home and give her wisdom and understanding on how to deal with this situation, which is, sounds just unbearable. She was speaking to me last night about it, and she was in tears, you know. She just, she's on her own. She doesn't have a husband or anything. So she's got three boys, and they're just, you know, it's chaos in the home. So, Father, we just lift up Rima to you right now, Lord. And, Father, we don't know the answer. We just know, Lord, that you've already dealt with this situation. And, Father, we just ask for your grace to be poured out on Rima, Lord, to give her wisdom and understanding. Give us wisdom and understanding, Lord, as well, on how to deal with this situation. We know that it's the enemy. We know that they're defeated, Lord. So, Father God, we just right now release your grace into Rima and that whole situation in her family. We release the peace of God. Father, we bind Satan. Satan, I bind you over that family and over that household. I bind and cancel all your assignments in Jesus' name. We put them all under the blood of Jesus right now. And Father, we just thank you, Father God, for sufficient angels just to minister to her and give her peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I ask you, Lord, that when she comes over tomorrow night, Lord, that she will receive swift deliverance, Lord, and that you be lifted up and glorified. And, Father God, we loose a sound mind into her, Lord. We ask you, Father God, that she be a testimony and a witness to her sons, Lord, that they turn from their wicked ways. And, yeah, we just bind that rebellion, that spirit of rebellion going on in that house in Jesus' name. And I just got one other guy I've got to pray for as well, a guy called Isaac, who's a schizophrenic that came, I was ministering to him about, I don't know, 6 months ago, and he was doing really well. And then his mother got in the picture, and she's a Roman Catholic, so he sort of disappeared. He's just come back, and he's just been in torment the whole 6 months, pain and torment. So I told him, you left your post, so come back and get some deliverance. So he's coming back sometime later this week, and we'll minister to him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up Isaac to you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've already done in his life. You've done great things in his life, Lord. And you've even moved him out of his mother's home. He's 37, Lord, so, he's a bit late to leave the nest. But, Father God, we thank you, Jesus. It's all part of your plan and your purposes. So we give you the glory for that. And we thank you, Father God, for correction in his life. We bind that, all that rebellion and that rejection, Lord, that's led him on the wrong path. And Father, we just thank you for your grace over this situation, and give us wisdom and revelation, Lord, and understanding, Lord, on what exactly it is that would turn the situation around, Lord, that he would come off his medication and, Father God, know you in truth and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We agree.
Amen. We all agree. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Willie.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going good, brother. It's going good. All right. Anybody else? Got a prayer request? What about a praise report or a testimony?
I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
The Lord did something really cool, and I like to share it with you guys. But it happened after he rebuked me. And, you get that scripture where it says, all those whom the Lord loves, he rebukes and chastens. But something wonderful happened from that. I was terrible. I had, 4 years in my life where I was terrible with the scriptures against other people. I even got kicked out of churches, and it was just bad. The Lord showed me the last remnants of my prideful nature. And he was like, here's where you have the last of it located. And it was on Facebook. And, when you have knowledge, but you don't have love, that love of God that comes from the Holy Spirit. It was so arrogant. The way I would write on Facebook, oh, I got knowledge. Look at me sharing my knowledge. Look how much I know. But you have to forgive me. I get excited sometimes. But he rebuked me about it, and I deleted everything I've ever put on Facebook. And then after that, the Lord showed me something interesting about praying. And it was for my friend's mother-in-law. And so he brought her up, and instantly, the Holy Spirit was on me. And I said, can I pray for her? And he was like, yeah, let's pray. So we prayed. Holy Spirit took over everything. I didn't have to think about a single word that proceeded out of my mouth. Not a single word. It was so powerful. His wife started crying. Then his wife called her mother, and they started praying together and started crying. And the Lord showed me what he did. After I came across a guy named Tom Lau, for anybody who knows him. And he was talking about psalming. He said, when I pray, I do a lot of psalming. And I was like, psalming? What in the world is psalming? He mentioned it as praying in the pattern of what we see in psalms. No, not any of the, law of the letter thing, but seeing the pattern of prayer that's in Psalms, how someone would make a complaint about something in Psalms, and then they would speak of the Lord as their deliverer and as being delivered and as, shutting the mouths of their enemies, delivering them, their enemies falling into the pit before any of these things would happen. And the Lord said, that's what I did with you. And that's why it was so powerful. And I thought back on the prayer, and I was like, wow, that is freaking awesome. Oh, man, I didn't notice how awesome it was. But it was powerful, and it touched her heart. It was so powerful that when I prayed for her, it truly felt, when I said, Lord God, I just thank you for my sister in the faith. There was no, I can't tell you this, but I'll put it this way. She's not born again. But the way the Holy Spirit pressed it, it was like, yeah, she's born again. Yeah. It was like she was already here in the body of Christ. Can you guys get what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit was just like, you got your petition. And I'm going to bear witness of it. And that's the best way I can put it. Just like Jesus said, I bear witness not of myself, but it is my Father that bears witness of me. The Holy Spirit just really, confirmed the prayer. And he showed me how, he said, did you see the pattern of Psalms in it? How the prayers are. And I was like, wow, that was amazing. But I wanted to share that. I just thought it was amazing.
Amen. You said she, as far as you knew, she wasn't saved at that time, huh?
No. But it was like the Holy Spirit was just like, this is going to happen. I'm an surety.
Yep. Well, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows his chosen already. So, absolutely. I believe it. That's a good testimony. I love it when God does something like that, don't you? That is awesome.
Yeah, that blew my mind. It was so weighty. I mean, everyone was affected. Yeah. Everyone was affected. I'm like, I got affected. My friend got affected. His wife got affected. His wife's mother, who he prayed for, was affected. And it was just like the Holy Spirit was like, yeah, it's me. I wish I could put it, oh man, I feel like exploding. I really wish I could just make you feel what happened that night, but it was just spiritually just awe taking proof.
Praise God. Awesome. Sometimes, one of these days, Willie, we're going to be walking in that all the time. We're going to be walking in that all the time.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it. Because that's something I want to see.
Amen. As we get closer to God, that's where we're going to, Jesus wants us to walk like he did. And how'd he walk and talk? He walked and talked because he heard the Father tell him what to do and where to go and how to do it. And that's what he wants us to do. That's what the man child's job is going to be doing. He's going to be doing the same thing Jesus did. Then he's going to be teaching us how to do it, Praise God. It's going to be an awesome time. All right. Thank you so much. That was good. Anybody else? Kurt's really having a hard time, I guess, getting on. I don't understand it.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
Are you saying that he's calling and it's giving him a busy tone?
Well, did he pay his bill this week?
Right.
We got both of the phone numbers, and so we're trying to see if we can figure it out for him.
All right. Who is?
Anna and I.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Yeah, because I want him to get on and give that testimony about his odometer. Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Hey, Debbie and Denny. Praise God. All right.
Anytime, Mike.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Bless
you, Jesus.
Amen.
Did I hear Anna there? Did she have her baby?
Well, it's there, but it's not out yet.
Okay. I did hear Anna there then.
She's. What was that?
I don't know.
Sound like a baby to me.
Mm-hmm.
really creepy. Just saying.
What's that?
It's not that far out yet.
So, I was going to say, maybe that's prophetic there, you know?
That's Obadiah.
That's a miracle.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report or would like to pray about something? Okay. We, 1, 2, 3, 4. Is that you, Kurt? Yeah, let me undo him. Is that you, Kurt?
Yeah, I was saying there was, I couldn't get in on that second number, the 408 number. I tried several times, and it kept ringing busy all the time.
Okay, that's why we give two numbers. I get. Did you? So you're in on that first number, at 646 number?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I gave both of them to David to give to you. Okay. You want to give a testimony about your odometer?
Okay. I had gone over to Phillips a couple of days ago because I do the garbage run, and he's one of the ones that I go to. And Michael's truck was, I thought my truck was in the way, but Michael said he could get by. And so he went ahead and pulled out, and I had Philip back around because he's got a weird driveway, circle driveway, and other cars were there. When he backed it up, he told me to come over to the window, and he says, there's something really weird. He said the odometer says 144, and then the other three numbers are 441. And he thought that was really odd, so he took a picture of it with his phone. And I mentioned it to the group this morning, and David really picked up on it. So I thought that was cool. Are you muted, Michael?
Yeah, I was. What he had on it was 144,441, which is 144 frontwards and backwards. And that whole number there, all those numbers equal up to 18 if you just add them all together. And what's interesting is they took a picture of that yesterday, which was 1/16/2017. And if you add those numbers together, it equals 18 also. 18 means life in Hebrew letters. And 144, which comes from both directions, and it appears at one point a convergence at now, when Philip saw it on the odometer. And convergent means important points coming together at one point of unity. The many-membered man-child company being caught up to the throne of authority now does not mean this moment, but now rather than down the road in the spring or fall, as many think. And it's really interesting. David blogged that, and it shows the number on there. What's interesting also, it's got a fuel tank of gas on it too. So if it's got a fuel tank of gas, you know what that means. That's fuel tank of gas for all of us. Praise God. So I thought that was real interesting. The gas tank means plenty of power. Plenty of power. So that was real interesting that he got that and the way the Lord put it together.
Well, I was just saying, if the Lord wanted me to get on tonight, he'd have to make a way.
Amen.
Thanks.
All right, bud. Yeah, that was really cool. Well, he did that. All right, anybody else? Hey, Barbara.
Hi.
Everything all right?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Okay, praise God. All right, any more testimonies or praise reports? Well, let's go ahead and get started on deliverance. What I'd like to do is to just talk a little bit about deliverance and get us on a little road here, if I can. You know, there's a force in the scriptures that's spoken of in Luke's gospel, and it talks about Jesus casting out demons. when he was accused of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, here's what he said in Luke chapter 11 and verse 19. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. And if we look at that force carefully, one thing we can see real plain here is that Jesus was calling the devil the strong man when he was spoiling the devil's kingdom. But if you look at the original text, that word man is not in the original. It actually should say in Luke 11:21, when the strong, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are in peace. Well, what are these goods Jesus is talking about? Aren't they the things the strong has been given authority over in this world? The court represents his kingdom where he, the strong, rules and reigns. That's what Jesus is talking about right there. Luke chapter 11, verse 21 says, When the strong, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his, that's the strong's, goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, that was Jesus, he taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted. A stronger than the devil came on him and took away from him his whole armor wherein he trusted. I know y'all know the devil doesn't have any armor. His kingdom doesn't have any armor. The demons don't have any armor. They don't have any protection whatsoever against the authority that God has given to us. The protection has already been taken away from them. In Colossians 1 and 13, he says, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And he gave us power in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. He gave us, every one of us, this authority. It's already been accomplished. It's something that we have, it's not anything that we have to accomplish. That whole armor has already been taken away from the devil. He's wide open to us and the power that we have of God behind us. In Colossians 1:13, God has given us authority to partake of everything that Jesus did at the cross. The Bible says he made us meet. That word means able, as most of you probably know. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. And whatever a saint in light is entitled to, God made us able to partake of that. And if you think you lack ability, you're wrong. You need to study the scriptures. God made us able. And how many of you know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us in Philippians 4, right? And through what Jesus did, he made us able to be a partaker in whatever we need. He made us able to plunder the devil's kingdom. And that's wherever the devil rules or his curse reigns. Wherever the devil has ability, we got the ability to take it away from him. Colossians 1:13 again, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The devil has no power. He has no ability other than what we give him. Amen. Now I'm going to stop here just for a little bit and ask anybody if they've got any questions. Okay, no question as to the authority that we have. Okay. Praise God. Now, I want to get into a little bit. I'm sorry, my phone keeps ringing over here. A little bit about how to be stable, in Christ. You know, we have a worldly, when we came into this thing, we had a worldly attitude. We had a worldly life. And then when Christ came into our life, we had to start trying to get rid of it. You know, I allowed God to get rid of that stuff. And that's what you see in the world and you hear in the world, all that stuff. That, and the stimuli that we have from that, that's the feelings and the things that we see from the world, what they tell us and what they say to us, how to rule, how it rules us in a ways that we act sometimes. And when you're a person that's ruled by emotions, if somebody's obnoxious, you act accordingly. If a person's offended easily, it's because they're ruled by their emotions, right? Their flesh. They're not ruled by the Word of God. They don't forgive. Excuse me. We have to be stable because dead men don't have rights. We're supposed to be dead. We died with Christ. We died to sin. We died to those carnal emotions. And as we begin to get things right, what he said in John 14 and 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So we decide not to care about what anyone says to us. We decide to not care about what's happening around us, these circumstances that come around us. We all know that God's in control. We don't have to worry about a thing because he is in control. I'm going to obey what thus saith the Lord. And that's what makes a person stable. You turn the other cheek when they insult you. And that's a good way to die quickly. God gave us these rules so that we would be able to die quickly, so that we wouldn't all the rest of our life be subjected to bondage to that old man, which is the flesh. 1 Peter 4 and 1 says, for as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. If your flesh is suffering, it's because you're not giving in to it. For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm you yourselves also with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You know, it ought not to take us a whole lifetime to get us to get that right, that part right, according to what he's saying there. Verse 2, that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And in order to get to that place, he's saying that you got to suffer. The old flesh doesn't want to suffer, you denying it the right to bounce around, be moved by external stimuli, or do whatever. We're supposed to be moved by our spiritual born-again senses that's washed by the Word of God to know what's right and wrong. Our spiritual senses, not our carnal emotion, are what's supposed to be ruling our life. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, for the time past may suffice to have wrought the desire of the Gentiles and to have walked in lasciviousness. And lasciviousness just means a license, do whatever you want to do. Lust, wine bibbings, revelings, carousings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. And if you don't want to join in their sin with these people who are self-justified, you're the bad guy. They're going to make you the bad guy. Verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead? For unto this end was the gospel preached, even to the dead, that they might be judged indeed according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. And that's hard. Listen, it's a hard price to pay sometimes until we get used to it. the sequence of events from condemnation to rejection to self-justification to retaliation of some sort is quite common for people who are trapped by the devil. These persons may want sanctification, but they're not willing to pay the price for it. And the price is to humble yourself and to take a chance of being rejected. And if it takes that, the price is to confess your sin. There's only one way to holiness, repentance, and confession of sin. And what does repentance mean? It means change your mind, go back the other way, go the way God wants you to go. And no matter what anybody needs from God, he tells us in James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. It doesn't make any difference what kind of benefits you want from God. You have to make sure that everything is right between you and God and between you and your brother. He told us not to bring our gifts to the altar, didn't he? He said, leave your gift at the altar. Go and make those things right. And then come before my altar. In Matthew 5 and 23, it said, if therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And if you really want to deal with that cause in order to permanently change the effect, that's what you got to do. You can just deal with the effect, but it's going to come back because you hadn't done anything internal. There's nothing lasting there. You want God's righteousness, you have to confess your sins. Praise God for that. Condemnation is a big one too. If condemnation comes on you, that steals faith so quick. You know, demons are going to test you too. Demons speak directly to your mind. They attempt to test you. Anybody who listens to and speak through others or listens in their own mind is going to lose their freedom. And if you listen to them, their words are demonic and they have power. If you listen, they'll take you where you don't want to go. Now, who has authority over demons? We said that a while ago. But for those who have authority, in Matthew 18 and 18, here's what it says. I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And that includes every one of the demonic powers. A person doesn't have authority over Satan when they've disobeyed God's word. And they've been turned over to Satan for a chastening. Okay? You can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and it'll tell you that. And if a person repents and they hadn't given in to Satan but are being tested by Satan, that person has authority and they can bind and the devil has to obey. It's just like a healing. You believe you have authority over all of that because of what Jesus said. And you do because of the blood of Jesus. When you're, that has to be when your conscience is clean and you understand God's blood, Jesus' blood. You do have his authority. It's not because you're absolutely perfect either. Even the youngest and least mature child of God has that authority. We have that authority to bind and loose. Now, this principle can go against you. People do lose Satan on themselves. They loose him on him by their disagreement with God's word. That happens too often. They can also bind Satan by their agreement with God's word. It's not about you saying, I bind or I loose. It's about agreeing or disagreeing with God's word. You do it all the time, whether you know it or not. It says in Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Now, they were not perfected at that time. The disciples had quite a ways to go walking with Jesus, but they had been given that authority, Mark 16 and 17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. We got that authority. And then Luke chapter 10 and 19 again, he says, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. What does all leave out? Don't leave out anything. and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. You have authority if you agree, and if you have faith, you believe. Now that devil, he'll try to bluff you. He'll try to tell him that he's got the authority or that he's going to take them out. And if your conscience is not clean, you need to do something about that real quick. But if it is clean, you can turn on that demon. You can tell him exactly where they need to go. They don't have any authority over you because of what Jesus gave us. You've got the authority over them. You can't give them permission. They can't take you without your permission. And you can give permission in a lot of ways. If you sin, you've given them a permission. You've opened the door for it. You're determined to walk in sin. I don't want to do that. You walk after idols because they're more important to you than obeying God. You give in to deception or seduction by evil spirits and et cetera, et cetera. And if you give them authority, they're going to take it. But what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. You have the authority here on earth. But you also have the authority to give it to Satan. That's what Adam did. God's word says in Romans 6 and 16, his servants ye are whom ye obey. Adam obeyed Satan and lost his authority. And that same thing happens today. People get demon possessed because they obey Satan. Don't let them demons talk to you. You know, demons can be peaceable until they know that you are aware of them, and then they fight against you. And then they're not so worried about hiding themselves anymore. We saw demons in a woman here a few years ago. David tells about it. He saw these demons in this woman at a meeting we had. And he saw those demons looking at her. And by the Spirit, he heard the demons saying to one another, "Do you think he sees us? Do you think he knows we are in here?" Well, yeah, David knew it. Anybody that looked at her could tell she was demon-possessed. And we had seen those in her for quite a while. But you can't show your hand too quick because once that you acknowledge their presence, they're going to turn against her. They're going to turn her against us, you know, turn them against you if the same thing happens. So, but he was praying for this person to repent. And not repenting is most often why people are turned over to demons. You need to remember that. Matthew 18:34, "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. If you forgive not everyone his brother from your hearts," not from your mind, from your heart. The Lord himself turns people over to demons because they don't want to repent. Some of the biggest reasons for needing to repent are unforgiveness, bitterness, criticism, and judgment. And these wrongs are always cause for a person to be turned over to demons. And this is for the purpose of bringing them to repentance. You remember the man who had his father's wife? Paul turned him over. 1 Corinthians 5:5, "To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." In this woman's case, we talked about earlier, David had revealed this problem to this woman's husband for his sake. But you know, husband chose fellowship with the demons and his wife over and above the Lord. Then you know what happens then? He was affected. And we've seen this disloyalty to God cause possessions many times. And we pray for those folks who are in that kind of situation. More than ever, God is turning people over to Satan for chastening to bring them to humility. Matthew 10:32, "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father is in heaven. And one way that this happens is by choosing demons or relatives or friends over the Lord and his word, or his word or his elders or representatives. And that happened all through the scriptures. God's representative spoke for him, and the demons and the people railed against him. Those who felt it more important to listen to demons, or advantage to listen to the demons, got demon possessed. Every one of them did. Matthew 10:33, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. In other words, they have no right to grace, or they don't have any rights to the benefits of the kingdom. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And if we don't confess him before men, we don't have any offering before the Father. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation comes from our confession, right? And we saw that seducing Jezebel spirit in that wife give that husband no peace until he knuckled under for the sake of advantage. And from that point on, they both served that false god. And that's common. It's real. It's often too common. And, you know, that's how you end up with so many Ahab spirits out there. Luke 14:26 says, if any man cometh unto me and hateth not his own father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. What's he talking about hating here? Well, it's hatred of their own life. It says in Luke 14:26, yea, and his own life also. That is the psyche, the soulish life that we ought to hate in our relatives. Some people give in to that soulish life and the opinions of relatives. Don't never do that. It's denying the Lord. And that's following a false god for the sake of advantage. People do that for the sake of peace in their family. A husband or wife sways a person because of their idols or fear of somebody else's opinions. And for their ego or whatever, they give in and deny the Lord. Then what happens? Well, one of the common things is that demons come in and oppress or torment, because the demons are the ones who administer the curse, right? The curse is wherever grace is not. When God takes away grace, that's the curse. We need to hate that soul life. Luke 14:26, if any man cometh unto me and hateth not his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. If you don't love God above everyone else, you can't be his disciple. And if you don't hate that carnal life in your relatives and turn against it for the sake of the Lord, you cannot be God's disciple. Luke 18:29, he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or wife or brethren or parents or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this time and in the world to come eternal life. You know, there are people who end up leaving their wife for the kingdom's sake, and not everybody can do that. They don't have authority to do that. The Bible says to take care of your wife, and only God can do that. If he does it, though, you better listen to him, I'm telling you. Luke 18:29. There is no man that has left house or wife or brethren or parents or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this time and in the world to come eternal life. And a lot of people take that on themselves, and you don't need to do that. Don't dare do that. Don't take that authority upon yourself. Don't take any office in God's word or any office in the body of Christ upon yourself. That's a dangerous thing to do. And that's one reason why a lot of people get demon possessed. and they end up being deceivers of God's people. And don't appease that Jezebel spirit. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back to sin and destruction, but what happened to Lot? He kept his eyes going to the refuge, didn't he? So, men, you don't need to appease a Jezebel spirit. Just don't do it. It's going to lead you astray. It's going to seduce you. We've got our command from God right out of the Word of God. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. Wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, the Lord said that. I didn't say that. All you with Jezebel spirits are going to get mad, but that's tough. This is the truth. You have to obey God's word. Otherwise, you don't need to call yourself a disciple of Christ. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ also is the head of the church. And just as much as Jesus is head of the church, the husband is the head of the wife. Are you listening to me? Being himself the savior of the body. That's right. If you don't obey your husband, you're not going to get saved. That's what he's talking about there. Verse 24. But as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives also be to their husbands in everything. Is the church supposed to be subject to Christ in everything? Well, of course he is. He's saying this in the same way. In Ephesians 5 and 24, so the wives also to their husbands in everything. And to make this possible for the wife, we're then told this in verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Now, just because you're feeling unloved, it's not an excuse for a wife to disobey her husband. But love makes it a whole lot easier for the wife to obey her husband. So you men need to listen. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. Loving your wife does not include giving in to a Jezebel spirit. And giving in means you're putting yourself under a demon spirit and taking yourself and your family out from under God. And you're going to pay a price for it. But on the other hand, you don't judge a lost wife. God insists on Christ the Word being your head, so you don't need to judge her if she's lost, but don't let her be your head either. If Jesus is not your head, then you're following a false God. That's real simple. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. He that is not with me is against me. And if because of your stand for Christ, your wife leaves you, then suffer for Christ's sake. We all have to suffer in one way or another, but do not follow a false God. 1 Corinthians 7 and 15. Yet if the unbelieving departeth, let him depart. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us in peace. And if your mate leaves you because you follow Jesus, then so be it. You're not bound in such a case because God never really wants you to be married to an unbeliever anyway. And this is for an unbeliever, either husband or wife, either one. He only says to stay married to them if they are content to dwell with you because they can be saved through your witness, right? And the wife who has an unbelieving husband should obey him up to, but not including, moral sin, right? In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, in like manner, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that even if any obey not the word, they may without the word be gained by the behavior of their wives. On UBM's site, there's an article called The Word, Women, and Authority. And if you've got a problem in that area there, you need to go read that because there's only Bible scriptures in there. And if we want to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to follow the word. And if you want to be a Christian and not be a disciple of Jesus, you're not going to be saved. It's that simple. The word Christian is a loose term in our day, and it means almost nothing. In the early days, people were called Christians because they followed Christ Jesus. They did his works. And that's why they were called Christian. To they, the word Christian should mean more. But sad to say, it doesn't mean much to people anymore. There's too much stuff going on out there in the so-called Christian world. You know, it says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34, and I'm going to close with this, and then I'm going to give you a testimony. Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. And you might think, peace between me and my wife is the most important. I have to do whatever I have to do. No, you don't. Jesus didn't come to send peace on the earth. He said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. And that sword is to divide those who are loyal to God's word from those who are not. Verse 35, for I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Of course, there's a whole lot more relationship that he's just making a point here, right? Verse 36, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. That's what Jesus said. When you come to God and they haven't, and then you don't have any communion there. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, or what communion doth light, doth hath light with darkness? But if you follow the Lord, then they can be converted by your witness. But if you don't follow the Lord, you don't have any favor from God. So you can't expect your family to be saved if you're not following what the Lord has told you. To get your family saved, the most important thing for you to do is follow the Lord as a disciple of Jesus Christ and have favor from God, and he'll save your family if you believe for it, right? Amen. Then I want to give you a testimony, a real good testimony. I mean, it is an awesome testimony. Let me find it here. While I'm looking for this, has anybody got a question or would like to add something to that? Well, I thought I had it marked. I do. Okay, good testimony here. In 2003, this guy says, I was not a Christian. I was just a man living for himself. I had been a banker in Seattle when I began to hear faint voices in my head as I went to sleep. The voices grew stronger as time went by. There were many of them, different each night. I thought they were the voices of the dead speaking from beyond the grave. After several months, one of these dead spirits became more vocal with me. He called himself David, saying he was the soul of the brother of one of my best friends. And this person had died in a car wreck 3 years previous. This spirit's voice became so clear as to seem present in the room with me. And David says, Chris had unknowingly become a medium, one who is possessed with a spirit guide, a familiar spirit who mimics the dead. He began telling astral and worldly secrets that I found fantastical at the time. He explained many things about the afterlife, including how I had lived many lives myself and had been reincarnated several times. This spirit explained that he was my guide, sent by the White Lodge to help me achieve my final potential. He explained that he had to help guide my last life so I could go to heaven through gates guarded by a group of angels called the Brethren. He showed me many images and pictures of these gates. Souls would be permitted to pass through them when they had learned enough compassion through their many lives. And he also turned me on to many New Age beliefs. And in addition to him, I would speak to other spirits at night in my bed. They would ask me to do things for them. One such example came from a spirit called Misty, who wanted me to deliver some flowers to her dying grandmother. And this spirit gave me the name and address of the hospital where this elderly lady was located. I went and delivered the roses anonymously to her. and I thought I had some special gift to talk with the dead. As I experienced incidents of communication and received confirmation and insight from the things those spirits revealed. The voice of the spirit guide began to become stronger as time went on. It got to where it was all I could hear. He always seemed to be as close as my throat, speaking from behind my head. It was a very unsettling feeling at the time. Well, I expect so. This went on for some time with me learning and trusting all that this spirit called David revealed to me. There came a night when I awoke in my bed to see a specter cloaked in darkness, black as pitch. He even seemed to suck the darkness into himself. I was terrified, frozen in my bed as I stared at it. I noticed that my breath was visible in front of me, as if it were a winter night. The specter seemed to want to kill me. When I thought it would move to harm me, the presence of my spirit guide entered into the room and scared it away. I could sense that it was afraid of him. He explained to me that it was a lost soul who had sought me because of my gifts. He said that I was like a light in the darkness, and that all such spirits could see and would gravitate toward. Well, the same thing happened the following night, and onward for 6 nights. Each night, one more spirit came until by the 6th evening, there were 6 of them at the foot of my bed. I could not have been more terrified, as they would all point at me with horrible, black, lifeless faces seeming to want my death. And by morning, I was exhausted from the fear, hypervigilance, and lack of sleep for 6 full days. Upon waking, I heard the spirit David's voice rushed and louder than ever. He said, "Hurry up and get dressed. You have to get downtown toward your work now as fast as possible. Hurry up, do it now." I asked, "Is somebody in danger?" He replied, "Yeah, hurry now." Startled, I got dressed and drove downtown to see what was happening. While I was driving, he kept saying, "Hurry, hurry." When I got there, nothing was happening. It was just a normal day. Surprised to see nothing wrong, I asked him why he told me to rush. He replied, "I just wanted to see if you'd obey me. I was testing you." All day, I ignored him while I worked, as I was very angry. I was continually disturbed by his words, "Obey me." When day was done, I went home, ignoring David the whole way and wanting very much to understand. A friend once had told me the Bible discussed spirits and the dead. I decided to look it up on my computer. And as I sat down to search the internet, I looked out over Puget Sound from my windows and could see nothing but blackness. The clouds had covered everything in such a dark, ominous way, and it was unlike anything I had ever seen, especially so early in the evening. And as I started to find Bible passages, the Spirit's voice asked, accusing, "What are you doing?" Agitated, I replied, "Nothing. Don't worry about it." And I came upon Deuteronomy 18:10. "There shall not be found in you one who passes his son or his daughter through the fire, one that uses divination, an observer of clouds, or one divining, or a whisperer of spells, or a magic charmer, or one consulting mediums." And that word in mediums is in the Hebrew is consulter with a familiar spirit. "Or a spirit knower, or one inquiring of the dead." Verse 12, "For all doing these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these filthy acts, the Lord your God is dispossessing these nations before you, and you shall be perfect with the Lord your God." And as I finished reading these words, I heard David with a tone of deep aggression say, "Don't read that." Startled, I turned to see that he was now visible on my right. He looked just like one of the dark specters that had previously gathered around my bed. And the room instantly grew cold. I was terrified, but replied, I can read it if I want to. And he lunged for my throat with his dark outstretched hand, taking a swipe at me. I fell sideways out of my chair and thought I was going to die right there in that dark room as he came on me. I was on my knees. I called, Lord, please save me. A hole to the heavens opened up through my roof. I saw a flaming sword coming down from heaven at me like lightning. It flew straight down and entered through the top of my head, traveled through my body, and pierced into the ground through me. A blast wave that was like a spiritual nuclear bomb went off from the fiery sword within me, traveling like light through my entire place, destroying the spirit David as it flashed out from me. I sat there on my knees as the light went out from within me and the sword left me. I then immediately saw a large, bright light outside on my patio. And as I squinted at it, I realized what I was seeing in my mind. I heard the name Michael. He was holding the sword, which had just been in my body. He was huge. I was amazed and afraid. He was huge, bearing armor as bright as the sun, with many colors coming through it, shining brightly. He was looking at me through the large windows. I jumped up to my feet to run outside and see him. But as I opened the door, the light was gone. No one was there. And I went to the spot where I'd seen him standing, half expecting to see the ground melted away. I dropped to my knees to feel the ground, as I thought it would be hot for some reason. And when I looked up, the blackness of the clouds had given way to the setting sun. It seemed to not only pierce through the clouds, but to push them out of the way, making what seemed night turn into day. I stood there utterly, emotionally exhausted and physically tired from not sleeping for a week. I awoke the next morning on the seventh day of the ordeal. I had slept as soundly as a baby without a single interruption or dark visit. I felt so good that morning. I can still remember how good it was. I felt like $1 million. I got dressed and was thinking about everything that had happened to me and what it all meant. I no longer heard any voices. For the first time in a long time, I felt like I was in my right mind. I got into my truck and headed to work, feeling wonderful. And as I came to the apex of a large bridge, I closed my eyes for a second. When I opened them, I was no longer in my truck. To my utter confusion, I was standing on a dirt road. My first reaction was to put my hands on myself to see if I was okay. As I looked down, I had all my clothes on and was still wearing my boots. Bewildered, I saw a dirt road stretched out as far as the eye could see, and to the right and left, fields of golden wheat ready for harvest were moving back and forth as a warm wind blew over them. The sun was setting. It was casting the most beautiful rays of light through the waving grains of wheat. The soft color was unlike anything I had ever seen on earth. It was beautiful. My thoughts went back to myself. Where in the heck was I? And I turned around to look behind me. I saw darkness. As I was trying to look into where the road behind me went, I felt a presence. I can't even begin to explain in words. I turned around to see a man standing in the road before me. He was dressed in white. His clothes were of olden times and spotless. He had long golden brown hair and a beard. And as I looked at him, I realized who he was. I could tell that he could see all of the things I had ever done wrong in my life. Everything. As he looked at me, he put before me images of all the wrongs I had done. seeing them, I felt so heavy that I fell to the ground, my face falling into the dirt. And I began to beg aloud, Lord, please don't let me be before you. Please let me go. I am not worthy. Please let me go from before you. It was so painful that he could see all of my sins. Feeling crushed onto the ground, my breath and tears mixed with the dirt of the road. As I tried to push away from him, I looked up through my tears to see his perfect sandal in front of my face. I reached out and placed my hand upon his foot and said, Lord, please forgive me. I am so sorry for what I have done against you. And then I felt his hand on my shoulder, lifting me up off the ground and setting me onto my feet. He took his hand and reached before me, touching my chest, seeming to reach inside of me. He pulled out a black, shining orb, which was spinning within his hand. And I looked up from the orb into his face, and he smiled at me and looked back down at the thing spinning in his hand. He then closed his hand around it and crushed it. When he opened his hands again, the orb had become like dirt that was on the road. He turned his hand, and the dirt fell back onto the road. At that moment, I felt so free. All that had crushed me and held me down in life had been taken away forever. I looked into his eyes and saw them clearly for the first time. Amazingly beautiful. They were the same color as the light that I had seen shining through the shafts of wheat. As I looked, I felt words could never portray. I felt the love of my friends, the love of my brothers, the love of my mother, the love of God. I was so overcome with thanksgiving. I threw my arms around him. His frame was as powerful as a rock, but gentle as a lamb. And then I held myself apart from him, looking into his smiling face. I said the most embarrassing thing that I've ever said in my life. Looking at the long road, I said, Lord, do you think we could stay here and play soccer together? Ain't that the way we are? He laughed. And as I looked up from the road, turned and walked a few paces from me, I could see his perfect footprints in the dirt. I felt frozen, not knowing what to do. As if sensing that I felt paralyzed, he looked back, smiled, and extended his hand and motioned for me to follow him. Even though he didn't say the words, I could clearly hear the words follow me in my mind. And looking down, I took my first foot and put it perfectly into his footprint. As I was about to take the next step, I closed my eyes for a second before trying to look back at him, and poof, just like that, I was back in my truck driving on my way to work. As I sat there, I cried, heaving deeply for the gift that he had just given me. I was so entirely undone. There was no greater happiness that I had ever known in my entire life. Then the radio played a song called Dead Man's Rope, sung by Sting, recorded on the album called Sacred Love. I shall never forget listening to this song through my tears, barely being able to drive. And he quotes the song there, and I'm not going to quote it. And after this song ended, it began to rain heavily upon my truck, just like the song described. My life has never been the same since. And that's the testimony of this young man. Praise God. I thought it was an awesome, awesome testimony to God's grace and his mercy on all of us, even the most vile. Amen. All right. I'm sorry that took so long, but I felt it necessary. Has anybody got any comments or would like to share something? Go right ahead. God is good, isn't he?
You know, I was thinking about that sword. Man, you know, that's a beautiful thing. The way the Lord says, I have not come to bring peace but a sword. But, you know, for our lives, that sword is so peaceful. That sword is so delivering. You know, just that, I want to say the omnipresent power of God to saturate your whole being and, you know, just to cause, just to examine you with that sword. To me, it's the most amazing thing in the world. You know, he said, father, mother, sister, brother, son, or daughter, you know, your enemies shall be they of your own household. And I said to myself, Lord, you know, do you use that sword, you know, is that same sword used against demons? And I know it sounds like a silly question for as long as I've been reading the scriptures, but the Lord puts it in our hearts, you know, to ask this question. And I asked that question before you told this story. And the Lord answered it with that story, you know, how the sword of Michael just passed right through the man. You know, that purifying, you know, wow, wonderful, awesome sword. I mean, you know, I've always looked at the sword of the, you know, I never connecting the two, but in ignorance, you know, you use, how can I say it? The Lord, you know, he answered that question. Because he'll go up and down, to and fro, you know, through and out you with that sword. You know what? I having a hardened heart for so long, you know, against people, against denominations, against churches, you don't realize what kind of monster you become until, you know, the Lord causes you to examine your own heart, or he does the examination of your heart. You know, that's all I can remember. I just thank God. You know, he answered that question. I'm so glad for the sword of the Spirit. I'm so glad that, you know, he examines us and he frees us and he brings us together like this, you know. And it is such a great examining. It's such a great casting out of strongholds and, you know, principalities and powers and spirits in our lives. We don't realize how many demons we have fellowship with in our lives. Look at this man. He became a medium. At least he got to, here he is. How many of us can say, yeah, I heard my demons around me? It took the Lord to show me how many demons, I mean, I've had so much fellowship with. I spent 4 hours one night dealing with demons that were in fellowship in my life. Being a Christian, you know. Arrogance, you know, is a big, you know, is a tunnel, a vacuum, a magnet for demons. And it will destroy the path of life. It really will. And you swear up and down, I swear to God I'm a Christian. I'm walking the path of life. And when I die, I'm going to see Jesus. how wrong I was, how far I was away from seeing that. You know, I'm so grateful. I am learning this year how to be free in Christ. And the devil, you know, he's been working hard on me with fear, with just trying to clog that freedom with a bombardment of confusing things. But the Lord, you know, he's been on my side. And I still struggle with this day, to this day, as seeing Satan without having armor. Or, you know, not seeing him as, you know, powerful. I'm Satan, I'm powerful, listen to me. I'm a great oppressor. And it just works so much, you know, in my emotions, sometimes in my thoughts. You know, sometimes with my job, because I work with a multitude of people. I work at a shelter. So you get spirits coming from every direction, from the clients, from your coworkers, you know, from your reaction with people, from, you know, how you communicate with people. And then you come home and you just got a bombardment of just spiritual attack. And it's only at that time when you sit quiet with God and you allow him to examine your heart, you know. But I'm not going to say anymore. I just wanted to say that.
Amen, Willie. That's good. You know, I worked in a men's shelter for many years, so I know the demons that you have to put up with in those things, or you don't have to put up with. But anyway, yes, that was a great testimony. But I want something else I want to throw out there, too, that the Lord has impressed upon all of us here in the local assembly, and that's that he even knows our thoughts. He sees our thoughts. He hears our thought life. And if you remember the testimony of John Melendi, when the Lord came to him and showed him his thought life, and how evil it was to God. Man couldn't do anything but just cry, you know. And just think about what you think about during the day. Do we cast down those evil thoughts that come into our mind before they take hold? Or do we allow them to go ahead and root? And so that's the things that God is doing to his bride. He's cleansing them to a point to where they're going to be spotless on the day that the bride is presented. And it's coming real soon, it looks like. Okay, has anybody else got a testimony or would like to share something?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I got an emergency prayer request. Would that be all right now?
Go ahead, Chad.
And thank you, Willie, for sharing that testimony what you share. That really blessed me. And I just praise the Lord for the grace to repent and be cleansed, and for, you know, sanctification. It's the promise that's been given to us, and we can stand on that. And I found that to be a great weapon against the enemy. So anyways, this has been wonderful tonight. Terry and I have a couple of good friends. They're both sisters in Christ, and they're also both blood sisters that live together. They'd never been married, and they have a very pure, innocent walk before the Lord in many ways. We've been praying for them and interceding for them and fellowshipping with them as the Lord leads. And I'll just put it this way. There's some areas yet where they're lacking in some teaching and some grace to stand on the word and in faith in some areas. And I'd like to pray for this present situation that they're dealing with. Their stepdad just stopped breathing. And as far as we know, he's not saved. He's not a believer at all. We've been praying for him and believing for him for some time now. And so we'd just like to pray that God will use the situation to draw, his name is Steve, to really draw Steve to himself. And their mom, their names, these two sisters, are Kathy and Debbie. And Debbie is the older one, Kathy's the younger one. They live together. And so I'd like to pray that the Lord would use this situation in both their lives. And Kathy and Debbie are panicking right now, and they're really concerned for Steve. They really love him. And so I'd like to pray, and then if anyone else wants to add anything, I just ask that you agree with us. So, Father, we praise you and we exalt you because you are the God of life. You are the life giver, and every soul is in your hand, Lord. There's nothing that can happen outside of your permission and your control, Lord. And we pray that your peace would come upon Kathy and Debbie now. We bind up spirits of anxiety and fear, and we command you to go from Kathy and Debbie now in Jesus' name. We pray that your peace would come upon them, Lord, and that you would give them the grace and the boldness to stand in the faith that you've given them, and to also seek you, Lord, to go deeper at this time and to pray and do spiritual warfare for Steve. And Lord, please have mercy on Steve, Lord. You please draw him to yourself. Enlighten the eyes of his heart to a saving knowledge of the truth, Lord. And also their mom, Diane, Lord. Please put the fear of you on her, Lord, and draw her to yourself and reveal your love to her and have mercy on her also, Lord. Use this situation for good. We bind up any satanic attempts to take Steve's life in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just commit Steve. We commit Steve into your hands. We pray that you would have mercy on him, that he would not leave this earth without coming to a saving knowledge of the truth, that he'd become a vessel of honor for you, that you may be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we believe that you're going to do this. We're going to thank you and praise you for the next few days because we know that you know the end from the beginning. And we thank you, Lord, that Steve is saved in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
All right, anyone else?
There was this verse of scripture. As soon as he said he stopped breathing, that came into my mind. And it's just three verses of scripture from Ezekiel that I just wanted to read as of being in agreement, if you don't mind. I just thought it was really powerful, very prophetic, just for this man's life. You don't mind if I read it, do you?
No, go ahead. We'll be fine.
Ezekiel 37, 4 through 6. Again he said unto me, prophesy over these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of Jehovah. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am Jehovah. Amen. I just wanted to read that because, you know, wow, you just praying something prophetic over someone's life like that. It's just dunamis power. A lot of times we don't want to believe, but when the Lord tells you to say something, you know, you just say it and watch it happen. You get to sit back and watch, you know, in amusement and amazement, power, wonderful power of God. You know, I'm just getting to know this. You guys probably know it way better than I do. I'm enjoying this so much, it feels like I'm in a room full of candy right now. And I praise the Lord for all of you. I just thank you for allowing me to attend these meetings.
Well, I enjoy your enthusiasm. It's great. Praise God for people who are on fire for God. And I believe everybody in here is on fire for God. Praise the Lord. You know, Chad, you probably heard me talk about my brother-in-law that died years ago. And the Lord woke me up at about 3 o'clock in the morning and told me to go up to his house. This is a guy who had diabetes. And he would go into a coma, you know. Diabetic coma. He'd get off his whatever. He's not a Christian. He wasn't saved. And I had told him about Christ and tried to talk to him about Christ until this was when he was in the hospital the last time. And he didn't want to hear it. He just, you know, he'd hang up, telephone him and all that kind of stuff. And then the Lord woke me up on a Sunday morning and said, go see him. I said, but Lord, he don't want to hear what I have to say about you. He said, I said, go see him. He said, I'm going to save him because of my prayers, because we've been praying for the guy. And I said, okay. So I got up in and went on up to Baseville, which is 25, 30 miles away from where I was. And no, I'm sorry. Back then I was about 50, 60 miles away. And so I went up to the hospital and I called my sister and I told her that I was headed up there. And told her what I was going to do. I said, get all the nurses out. I said, I'm going to go in there and God's going to save me. And she said, okay. And so I went up there and I got there. When I got up there, I thought I was just going to be in there alone with him, but the Lord told me to take my sister too. And I said, come on, Alanette, let's go. I want you to go in there with me. So I went in there and I talked to Richard like he was awake, you know, and told him about Jesus and I told him what he had to do. And I just believe that the Lord saved him at that time. Now, he was in a coma, but his spirit wasn't in a coma. How many of you know your spirit's still listening? It can hear and it can see. It can do whatever. Anyway, after that, I even asked my sister if she wanted to accept Christ at that time, and she did. And so, praise God, two souls. I believe two souls were saved that day because I was obedient to what the Lord had told me to do. Now, that sounds strange to a lot of people to go up there to somebody that's in a coma. Look, don't put God in a box. You put God in a box, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out, I'm telling you. But I believe that Richard was saved that day, and I believe when I get up to heaven, I'm going to see him. And I believe with my prayers, with my sister, who is a worldly woman now, back in the world, but I believe God's going to save her too, just like y'all. I'm believing for household salvation with my siblings and also my immediate family. So praise God. You know, don't put God in the box. He can do it. All right. Anybody else? We still got a little time here.
Yeah, Michael, this is Danny and Debbie. We had prayer last Thursday for our daughter, Kimberly. And she was in the hospital. She got home from work, and all of a sudden she was really feeling really terrible and all kinds of stuff going on in her body. And she's had heart problems in the past, has a pacemaker and everything. How old is Kim? She's 44. But anyway, when she got in, her heart rate was 130, so it was really high, elevated. And then, but we got the phone call when we were just, I think, on the prayer time here, and we prayed, and y'all prayed, and everyone prayed around the country, you know, that's on this call. But anyway, we went in to see her the next day, and the diagnosis was that they were still doing testing, and they weren't sure. They couldn't really find anything, put their finger on anything. They were thinking she had an infection in her blood, and they caught an infectious disease doctor in, so she had her heart doctor, and he said, as far as he was concerned, she could go home that night, but the other doctor wanted to keep her in. They said it's something had to cause this, so they were kept, you know, so anyway, so they kept her again, and then another day. So, she finally got out, you know, and the end result was they're not really sure. They're kind of blaming it on some sort of a sepsis and that. You know, when we saw her the last time, we said, Kim, you know, we prayed, and there were people all over the country praying for you. And, you know, God, we believe God touched you. He did a miracle. I mean, a miracle of healing. And, of course, it's not going to show up. They wanted to be able to prove what was it, you know, but they couldn't really find. They couldn't put their finger on it. They're sort of guessing. But we're just praising the Lord. We know we know what it was.
Amen.
I those prayers.
Amen.
And then also, now I have another daughter out in Colorado, and her boyfriend's sister, who lives back in Indiana, I think she's 36 or something like that, 38. Anyway, she's been experiencing some kind of a stroke type symptoms, like a quick, short strokes type, you know, and it's related to lupus. I guess she has lupus. We've never know anything about her or anything, but we just found that out. But we told her we're going to be praying, so I want to pray right now. And we know that God answers prayer, and we're asking y'all to join with us. And her name is Sarah. And so, Father, we pray right now for Sarah in the name of the Lord Jesus. We command this lupus to cease, to not exist in her body anymore. Keep your hand upon her, Lord, right now. Keep her from these little strokes and that she's having and what's attacking her body. Lord, we bind Satan involved, any demons involved in these diseases in the name of Jesus, and we curse that disease, and we just command healing to Sarah in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're thanking you for it right now. We're just thanking you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for praying. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. We believe, Lord. We hook our faith up with Debbie and Denny, and we believe it, Lord.
Amen, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Go ahead, Tim.
When I was trying to comfort that coworker of mine, her husband had stroke symptoms last night, just sent her a little text. I was looking for the right verse, and just a real quick one. It's James 5:15, the first half of it, and it's kind of appropriate for where we're at right now. It reads, "And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick. If you have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him." And so that's just a little, one little line there, but it sure is appropriate for tonight.
It's powerful. It's powerful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. They're going to confound the doctors over there. Pharmakia. Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody else need prayer before we close out tonight? It's been a wonderful night. I'm sorry that I took so long, but there was a few things that I was trying to get through, and we'll continue this Thursday night. So come back with your testimonies about deliverance and questions or whatever you want to share about deliverance on Thursday night. And I'm going to kick back and listen. All right. Anybody got anything? Willie, would you mind praying us out of here tonight?
Yeah. Verse scripture came to my mind. I'm going to read this real quick before I pray us out. "And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition which we have asked of him." So we got that petition. Whatever prayers you guys pray, praise the Lord, because we have it and we're going to see it. And the Lord God is just going to, really bless us and magnify his ways in it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus because you are so wonderful. Lord God, you are so loving. Lord, you desire to magnify your name in all the earth. Lord, you have set us forth as stars of heaven, as lights in the world, Heavenly Father, and as the salt of the earth, Heavenly Father, and as the wheat of the field, Heavenly Father. And you set us on that narrow path, and you've given us a blessing to preach the gospel to whosoever will hear it, Heavenly Father, that they might be saved. Lord, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus, Heavenly Father, which surpasses all of our understanding, Heavenly Father, that in it that we are able to do all things through Christ that has strengthened us. Lord God, we bless you and we thank you for this night. We thank you for this study here, Heavenly Father. We thank you for this gathering. Lord, we thank you for every soul, Heavenly Father, Lord, that Jesus has, sacrificed himself for. Lord, we just thank you. I bless you. I can go on and on, but I thank you. And I say amen in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And bless us all with a good night's sleep, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, good night. God bless you.